For Proverbs this morning, and I plan to spend it today and next Sunday morning on Proverbs, and then probably 1 week on Ecclesiastes and one on Song of Solomon. Okay, but I want to look at the first seven verses of the first chapter probably in more detail today than anything else, because that really explains most of the rest of the book. And we won't get into the rest of the book too much, but just a little general information about Proverbs before we begin. As we know, they're a collection of the wisdom that God gave to Solomon. It was written for the Israelites of his time, and then also recorded in the scriptures for all mankind that lived or will live since then. Does anybody know what the word proverb means? Wise sayings, yeah. Okay, it's a comparison. Go ahead. Yeah, Strong defines it as a pithy maxim. Well, that didn't really mean much to me. Two words I'd really never heard before. I mean, I had heard them, but never really understood them. Pithy maxim, and to help us understand that would be a metaphor or a simile. Simile is a comparison. And they're God's words through Solomon to show man the wise ways of God, how we can live our daily life. It's not just about wisdom. It's about how to live our lives using wisdom. And if we are wise, if we use wisdom, what does that do for us in our daily life? Does it make things harder or does it make things easier? Makes it easy, doesn't it? Makes it a lot easier. All the Proverbs were written by Solomon except the last two. The last two were written by other men. You can turn over there and it'll show you. Psalms 31 was King Lemuel wrote that. And that was, he wrote words that he learned from his mother. And Psalm 31 is been read many times, is about a virtuous woman. And the 30th psalm is about Agur, the son of Jacob. All right. The main thought and desire that Solomon had by writing Proverbs was for those who heard or read his writings, listened to his words, especially his children, or his son, as said many times in the book, was to get wisdom. That's what this book's all about, is getting wisdom. So let's think for just a minute before we get into chapter 1. Let's think for a minute. How do we get wisdom? Well, one of the short answers that is given many times is God gives it and you pray for it. Well, that's true, but that's just a part of it. I won't say it's a small part of it, because nothing God does is small. But when we pray for wisdom, that's just a part of it. Let's put it this way. The way we get wisdom is a process. It doesn't come overnight. God's not going to give us a revelation the way he gave Solomon wisdom. Now, we will learn things, we will understand things a little bit at a time, but not the way God just gave it all to Solomon instantaneously and guided him. So how do we get knowledge? Well, it's a process, as I said. Look at verse 7 of chapter 1. Here's how it starts. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Okay? Knowledge, we know, comes before wisdom. So there's steps to it. The fear of the Lord begets knowledge. Solomon said this many times. You'll read that many times in Proverbs. Knowledge begets understanding. So if you think about that, what's knowledge? What's knowledge?
Facts.
Facts that you know. It's an accumulation of facts. We all have knowledge about certain things. Some of us have more knowledge in one area than another one. Some people are specialized. Ben knows a lot about x-rays and cancer treatment and all that stuff I have no clue on. I have a lot of knowledge about cattle that he has no clue on and doesn't want to know. And I don't want to know about the cancer either, unless I get it, which I might sometime. Okay, so that's knowledge, is a collection of facts. Knowledge begets understanding. Okay, someone explain the difference in knowledge and understanding.
That's our interpretation of things the proper way.
Yeah, I think that's I think it's right.
Applying the facts. You know, applying the knowledge that we have to do better.
Yeah. You remember what Job said at the end of all of his trials? He says, I thought I knew about you before, God, but now my eyes have been opened. Now I really understand. Now I know. So I think one of the things we can say about understanding is that, yeah, we've got a lot of facts. Ben may have a lot of information about that. How much did that x-ray machine cost?
$2.5 million,
that machine that he runs. But when he actually starts operating it, then he's probably going to learn some things he didn't know, that he thought he knew. Now he understands how to use it. Okay? We all, you know, the wealthy boys understand, they know about Chevrolets and Fords and Dodges and other cars. Right, Munden? But they don't really know until you break open an engine and you put it back together, then you really understand how the internal combustion works in that engine. Okay, so knowledge begets, fear the Lord begets knowledge. Knowledge begets understanding. Understanding and experience and the gift of God through prayer brings about wisdom. Okay, it's a two-part, conditional on two sides, us and God. Okay, we can do all those things, but unless God is with us and we receive the gift of wisdom, we won't have it. So then, as we said before, what is the advantage of wisdom? Someone please read Proverbs 2, verses 10 through 12. What does wisdom do for us? Proverbs 2, 10 through 12.
Wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Discretion will preserve you, and understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things.
Okay. So when you have wisdom and knowledge, you will have discretion that will keep you, guide you. Understanding will keep you, and you will be delivered from evil. So it guides our path, doesn't it? We know where to walk. We know how to walk. So let's go back to the start. We said, chapter 1, verse 7. What is the beginning of knowledge? Fear of the Lord. Okay. So how do we get the fear of the Lord? How does that come about? How do we know to fear God? How do we know how awesome He is, how righteous He is, how vengeful He is, how rewarding He is? How do we know all those things? You hear about it. You read the Bible. You study the Bible. You talk with other Christians. Okay, so back to the very beginning of this, the fear of the Lord begins by studying and hearing God's Word. How does it continue? Same way, doesn't it? It's a process, continual process throughout our life. And as I said before, You know, if we're confronted with a huge problem, God wants us to come to Him in prayer. But that doesn't mean He's going to open our... He may answer for us overnight a question. He may not. But He's not going to give us wisdom the way He gave wisdom to Solomon in that type of a measure just overnight. That was for... That's when God dealt directly with mankind, and He did, gave it to Solomon for a purpose, to guide the children of Israel. That's why Solomon requested it. And I have another thought of that later on, something that never occurred to me before. Okay. There are other main themes of the book of Proverbs, and the ones that stuck out to me, and this is not all of them, I'm sure, but things that stuck out to me as I read it are to live peaceably with other people, avoid immoral women. I mean, Solomon talked about that so much. We are to work. Huh?
That was his problem.
It was a big problem. We are to work. He talks of generosity and fairness to others, and that is praised. Liars and laziness are condemned. Punishment is due to the sinner, and salvation will come to the righteous. Those are just some thoughts, but there's many statements. Many of the Proverbs are almost identical in their wording. Some of them are identical until the last two or three words, but they say the same thing. He repeats it in a different way. Okay, any other thoughts about general information about Proverbs before we get into the first seven verses?
I've got that too. That 14 times he talks about fear of the Lord.
14 times? Okay. I tried to look that up on the internet, how many times that phrase, and it was just so fragmented in different websites, you know, the fear of God, the fear of the Lord, and just different phrasing that I really couldn't. Unless I was to sit down and read the whole book and write it down each time, which I could have done, I wouldn't have known that. So 14 times you say it's in the fear of the Lord. Okay. Okay.
You know, a beginning for a lot of people, fearing the Lord comes through obeying your parents you have righteous parents. They will teach you about the Lord. And there's definitely some emphasis on obeying the parents.
Right. Yeah, that's a very good point that I left out there. You know, sometimes even before, I mean, very small children, you know, before they really get to knowing much, they are learning the ways to go. Right. And they don't have any need to when they're innocent. Yeah.
They don't have that excuse.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that in this world of immediate communication, everybody knows about God. Sure, something enough to be fearful of. But they just choose not to fear.
Yeah. Okay, so let's look at the first seven verses of Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So He's the author, no doubt. Verse 2 tells us why he wrote the whole book. Very compact verse. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Solomon is very articulate. Everybody know what the word articulate means, right? Somebody tell me what the word articulate means.
Particular,
precise. Precise, yeah. Saying the most in the fewest words is another way, maybe, of saying being articulate. You don't have to stumble around. You don't have to say 1,000 words to explain 2 words. He gets to the point. And so the point is he wants us to know wisdom, instruction, understanding. All right. Then he starts to flesh things out a little bit. Verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Okay, let's talk about those four those four traits there: wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. We've already talked about wisdom being what? One of you boys back here. What's wisdom?
These boys.
Any of you?
Wisdom is a process. It takes knowledge, it takes understanding, and it takes...
Be articulate. It's the correct application of knowledge, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what we've settled on, at least I've settled on, maybe you haven't. Wisdom is the correct application of knowledge, okay? Let's talk about justice. What is justice? What do you think justice is today? And I think it was pretty much the same then.
That which is just.
Okay. What is just?
Getting what you deserve.
Bob?
That which is right.
That which is right?
Getting what you deserve.
Getting what you deserve, okay. That may fall a little more under judgment. What I have for justice is the exact meaning or truth of a matter. In other words, if you have the law, in other words, if you have, let's say you have the revised statutes of the state of Missouri, okay, and you want to know what stealing is, or you want to know what larceny is, okay, they're both related, but there's a difference. So you might go to the statutes, and in this state at least, they will be defined for you what stealing is. You got stealing, felony stealing, you got misdemeanor stealing, you got stealing by deceit, blah, blah, blah. The list goes on. And then you might have larceny. Well, it's two different things, but it will tell you exactly what that is, what you're looking at, if you're looking at a crime, what that crime is. Justice. Okay. Judgment, what's judgment? What would judgment be in our daily lives? Is that not the correct decision or verdict of a matter? We think of a judge, they pass judgment on a case, and the judge will say, I find this way. I find the in favor of the plaintiff, or in favor of the other side, and here's my decision, a judgment. And then equity. What's equity?
Fairness.
When you think of the word equity, what's the other word that comes to your mind?
Equal.
Okay. Equity, dealing fairly and equally without respect of persons.
These four words that we just looked at in this verse, in the carnal life, they have different meanings. This is God's meaning. This is the spiritual meaning of that word.
True.
And people really get that mixed up.
Yeah.
Through the study of God's word, we see what is right, what is just. And we see how God has judged people in the past for the sins they committed. And we understand through Scripture that He treats us all equally.
He does. Yep. Okay. So Solomon wants us to understand and to receive the instruction about wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity of God, as Dwayne said. We thought about our physical definition of those terms, and really, they come from God. It all started with God. And man is the one that has perverted that. So, he wants us to understand and be instructed in those ways. Verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Solomon uses the word simple throughout the book of Proverbs. And the word simple means naive, unlearned. Whether that is, it also means easily deceived. Have you ever met someone that would believe basically anything you told them? And you thought, boy, I could fool you easy. Well, as you read through Proverbs, you will see that Solomon does not want people to be that way. He wanted the Israelites to be wise in the words of God. And why? So they would know how to walk. So they would not be deceived. So they would not fall into sin. Follow God's path. He wanted them to be wise. That's about the wisdom. And also, as he says in the last part of verse 4, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. The younger we are, the more simple we are. Right? But as we grow, we are to become more wise. Less naive, less unlearned, and less easily deceived. I had a whole passage I was going to read about the greatness of Solomon, but I passed it up. Maybe we'll go back to that if we have time. But let's move on. Verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. What do you suppose the age of this man might be that Solomon is talking about in verse 5? Would it be a teenager? No, don't think so. It would be someone with some age. Maybe not necessarily an old man, but someone that had lived for a while, had some experience, because he's already wise, isn't he? He says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. So are we supposed to stop learning? No. We're supposed to want the hunger for that. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. What's counsel mean here?
Someone to help or people.
Right.
Listen to counsel.
It's seeking the opinion of other wise people, isn't it?
Well, in number 5, the verse 5, what's the opposite of a wise man? I think it's talking in general terms there, that someone that has a desire to do what's right, they will listen, they will increase their learning, and a person that's just the opposite, someone that's foolish, I guess we'd say, they're not going to look for more discretion or knowledge. They're satisfied with what they have.
Yeah, it's easy to, when things are going along okay, it's easy to feel like, well, I'm comfortable with my status in the church or at my job or wherever in the world, and things are just pretty good, so I'll just, you know, we are to continue to learn, because when you continue to learn about God, you find out how much you don't know. I was really really enjoyed Doug's sermon last week about how the universe will pass away with a great noise. I had never thought of. I knew there's going to be a great noise, right? But the scientific explanation that he gave, which sounds very reasonable, when everything dissolves and all of the atoms let go, think of how loud that noise will be. Well, I'd never thought of that before, but that's just one example of things that we can continue to learn. And I don't know, I think I can learn easier now than I ever have. Maybe that's because I want to learn more now. And before, when I was young, you know, I learned because I had to in school, or I had to learn certain things in my job to progress. But when I had a desire to learn, then it became more fun and it came easier. And I think I retained it a lot better too.
One thing about it, so many people, it's like they say, well, don't confuse them with the fact.
Yeah.
They don't want you to tell them. They just almost put their hands over their ears.
What does God say about that? Their eyes are blinded to the truth.
In Proverbs 9:9, it gives you a characteristic of a wise man. It says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and just man, and he will increase in learning. So to be a wise man, you have to be teachable.
Yeah.
To be willing to receive instruction.
And see, that's one of the examples I said a while ago. Solomon is repeating what he just said here in verse 5 in a different way, isn't he? And you'll see that as you read the book of Proverbs. And as you read through, I encourage you to read through the book of Proverbs. You'll see verses that just, at least I did, verses that I've known since I was a little kid that just, you know, pop back into your mind and are easy to remember. All right, let's move on to verse 6. Why will a wise man hear and increase? To understand. Verse 6, a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. He will increase his learning so he can understand more. And why would we want to understand more? So we can get wisdom and learn how to walk more correctly with God. Okay, and as we back to verse 7 again, back to the beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So if you want wisdom, you have to first start by learning about God. And when you learn about God, you learn to fear Him and you learn to love Him. Fear is not necessarily the terror of the Lord, but I think it does include that when we sin. But if we are walking with God, then the fear of the Lord is more from an aspect of awe of His majesty, His greatness, and His blessings that He gives us. And then on the other hand, here's our comparison, here's our simile in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's the other side of it. And you really see that in Ecclesiastes, too. You see that comparison. Okay. If we have no other thoughts on that, I want to move over to chapter 2. And someone please read the first 6 verses of chapter 2. And we're going to see what Solomon has to say about asking for and seeking wisdom.
My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding.
All right, thank you. So Solomon is really stressing here to listen to what he says, apply the words to your heart.
When he uses that phrase, my son, is this actually words that are coming from parents, or is it actually, here's Solomon who's giving out this wisdom, and he uses it in a term of like somebody under him, or I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know that I know the answer to that, Bob. I've thought about that quite a bit too. I think surely it would include his sons. He obviously wanted the whole nation to listen also. He wanted all of them. And, you know, you know, there may be at times he was speaking directly to his sons or a son or a daughter and others, the congregation.
I think he's kind of doing this as a teacher to a student.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about who is the most well-known, Solomon's sons, that son didn't really follow after Solomon's advice.
Right. Yeah.
A man unable to take wise counsel. Remember what his son did.
track when he got to the camp, he didn't listen to wise people, he listened to his buddies.
Yeah, he called all his buddies his own age and said, hey, what do you guys think we ought to do?
I kind of think this is just a solid talk with those who are young people. It's just passing knowledge on. Maybe not necessarily directed to an individual.
And one of the thoughts of this first six verses here is you really have to look for it, the wisdom and the knowledge. You have to seek it. It says, verse 4, if you seek for it as silver and hidden treasures. Well, how hard do people look for gold and jewels and precious metals? They go crazy. We've all heard of gold fever, okay? Search for the truth and wisdom. It comes from the Lord. And turn now to chapter 4, the first 9 verses. This is something that I observed that I never thought about before. Somebody please read the first 9 verses of chapter 4.
Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your hand, cut on your head, an ornament of grace, a crown of glory, she will deliver to you.
Okay. When Solomon was a young boy, and I take verse 3 to mean probably the only, and somebody refresh my memory, was Solomon the second born of David and Bathsheba? The first son died. I think Solomon was next. When he was young, and the only child is the way I read this, David taught him. And what did David tell him? Get wisdom. Get understanding. Verses 4 through 9 is David speaking to Solomon. And now Solomon is passing that on. So, why do you think when God asked Solomon, what do you want? You're the king. Why do you think Solomon asked God for wisdom? Could it be that his father told him, get wisdom? I mean, to me, this really, Solomon really put into practice what David had taught him. It really went on from one generation to another.
Yeah, he said, listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah. Right.
So it takes some wisdom to teach wisdom to children.
Yeah. And I think David was successful with Solomon, at least. We know the great troubles he had with the rest of his sons. But it seems to me that Solomon heeded David's advice and was blessed greatly by it. And then, as he says in verse 7, wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom in all, and in all you're getting, get understanding. So it's all linked together. It's all knowledge, fear of the Lord, understanding, and wisdom all work together. Okay, next week we'll try to get more into the actual Proverbs and go through the book and look at a lot of them. Thank you for your comments.